No, executive session, back in the regular session?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Burton?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson, any questions? Thank you, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Yeah, those here now, back in the regular session. Mr. Moore, any possible action on executive session items?
Mr. President, during executive session, you discussed two issues, land acquisition and the collective bargaining. It would be appropriate if council desires to have a one motion, and that would be that move that the county administrator be authorized to negotiate, offer, and enter into a contract and proceed to closing on property identified as 2019 Q.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton?
Second.
Second, Mr. Riley, any questions? Thank you, Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Yeah, motion carried. It's now time for public hearing. Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. At this time, I'll read the rules of procedure for county council zoning hearings. When council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, disability, familial status, source of income, sex, creed, marital status, age, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken in consideration by the county in its deliberations. Each application shall be announced. The director will review with council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the commission. The applicant will be called on to present, explain their application, and present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reason for their opposition or questions. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless the council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you're required to come to the front, stand at the speaker stand, state your name and home address before you make a statement. Please sign the sheet at the speaker stand. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to me, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the P&Z Commission has not issued its recommendation report at the time of the council hearing, council will defer action on the application in those cases. The County Council shall accept and consider written comments only from the public on the P&Z Commission's recommendation to council for a period of five calendar days following the P&Z Commission's issuance of its recommendations. This does not preclude the County Council from requesting additional information as otherwise permitted. Mr. President, the first case today is conditional use number 2188, Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor's office and storage to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.69 acres more or less. Land is lying on the south side of Lewis Georgetown Highway Route 9, approximately 187 feet west of Church Street. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 5, Parcel 205.01 and 208. Staff would note for the record that the 911 address is 32452 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Lewis, that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on September 26th of this year. At that time, submitted to the record were an exhibit booklet, agency comments, and some other information. At that time, they deferred for further consideration. At their October 10th meeting, they did recommend approval of the conditional use for reasons 1 through 6 in conditions 7A through L. Thank you.
Any questions from council? If not, Ms. Carmine.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, members of the council. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Sergovic, Carmine, Weidman, McCartney, and Owens. I represent the applicant, Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC, who's applied for a conditional use of land in an AR1 district for purposes of constructing a contractor's office and storage building. And that's for an existing Sussex County painting and drywall business known as Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC.
I'm missing. Go ahead. My fault.
Thank you. Also in attendance this afternoon on behalf of this application are Jose Sandoval, owner of the property, as well as the owner of Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC, and Ken Christianberry, professional engineer and owner of Axiom Engineering. We've also submitted exhibit booklets for your review and consideration, which include copies of various documents in support of the application, some of which will be more formally presented this afternoon, but includes copies of the application, the site plan, deeds to the property, the compliance with the comprehensive plan, proposed findings of fact, and conditions. Donovan's Painting and Drywall LLC is an established and well-respected painting and drywall contractor, which was originally launched by owner Jose Sandoval in 2007. Donovan serves its customers with all of their drywall and painting needs from Dover, Delaware to Ocean City, Maryland. Donovan is currently located on Coastal Highway in Rehoboth Beach, Sussex County, Delaware. Mr. Sandoval purchased the property that's the subject of this application in 2018, hoping to relocate and expand his existing business in order to more efficiently provide painting and drywall services to meet the needs of the construction industry in Sussex County and the Maryland beaches. At this point in time, I'd like to introduce Ken Christianberry, who will present an overview of the application and the site plan. And then I'll conclude the presentation with a brief summary of this project's compliance with the comprehensive plan. Ken?
Thanks. Steal your mouse. Good afternoon. Ken Christianberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown. Is this our slideshow?
That's your site plan.
Yep. Page. I have them in order, so. All right. If you go to tab, where is the site plan? Pardon me. Tab 6 has the actual site plan in it, if that's helpful to you. Site consists of 7/10 of an acre, and there's a proposal for a 2,600 square foot office and an 1,800 square foot storage building. The parking that is available on the site not only meets the requirements of the code, but does leave room to allow some of the vegetation on the property to remain. This is a copy of our survey that includes all the existing tree lines that are on the property, and we've tried to be sensitive to the fact that although the area is trending commercial, we do have some properties around us that are residential. Some, though, as you can see going through the application. Oh, this is just the site plan. Do you have the this next tab here, the slideshow? There we are. Is that the whole book?
Yep.
We need the whole book. All right, slide. Here we go. That's the right one. Sorry, man. Confused, Johnny. Let me go ahead and check this down. Okay. Property is located on Route 9, about a quarter mile west of the Five Points intersection. In this same part of Route 9, everything on the north side of Route 9 is zoned C1 general commercial, which, as you all are aware, is a very generous and broad zoning that allows for almost any commercial use that a landowner could anticipate. On the south side, though, there has been a trend toward more intense uses. The power company substation is here. The Stokely Materials conditional use was approved 2 years ago right here. There are a few residential properties. And then these two parcels here are the applicant's land. And then the Board of Adjustment approved a homeless shelter at the location of the old church here on the other side of Church Road. So it is an area that has seen recent approvals for more intense land uses. I'm not sure why your mouse isn't getting along with me, Janelle. It's locked up. Can you scroll down to the next page? Don't like you either?
I don't like the PDF. Keep talking and I'll figure it out.
Okay. Do you want to bring that in when you do? Okay.
This is not a dead air, don't keep talking.
Just trying to remember what up. If you look on tab number, do they have paper books?
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
It's
I wish
all electronic version?
Some of us do, yes, sir.
Oh, well, that's sorry, good. Yeah,
if you...
ones that pay attention to that book, so that's right.
Yeah, I try to put things together in a certain order. I think it makes it a little easier to follow. We do include in our book, if you go to tab 5, I'm not sure what page that'll be on the electronic version. And the electronic version, look for this exhibit here. This shows you all the surrounding tax parcels. Mm-hmm. And then there's photographs of the adjacent properties that gives you some from our property and some.
You're just going to have to work with this.
Can you tell what?
It's stuck.
Oh, no. Is this working? Give me 2 seconds and see if I can tell it there.
Exactly right.
Your district, Mike.
What?
I said,
RG.
Yes, it is a district, yeah.
The only one we need is a slideshow. Let's see if...
I said, your district, too far east.
Way too far east.
It's still not going. Wow, okay. Well, we will go from there. I was planning on showing you these photographs, which... How many books do you all have?
Two out of the five.
Can I borrow yours, Shannon? And I'll toss another one up here for two leads.
These two leads.
Yeah.
I get that one.
Plan B. So in tab 5, you can see that what the surrounding properties look like. The first couple photographs show you the properties immediately next to the site. There's residential properties behind us that front on Beaver Dam Road. Then there's an abandoned structure to our immediate west, which literally has a tree going through its porch. Then there are a couple of residential properties as you head. If you flip to the next page, the trailer is to the east of us on Route 9. And then, of course, we're across from Ace Hardware and other commercial uses. The rest of the photographs are showing what the other side of Route 9 looks like. It is a very, very busy area. And when you get back a few pages, you get to where you see the power substation and the new Stokely Materials facility that is about 300 feet west of our site. So it is an area that we believe is in transition from residential to commercial. All right, let me go back through. The state strategies map, which is in tab 2, does indicate this entire area is our level 1 for investment, and that is an area where the state encourages high levels of growth and development, and that's true on both sides of Highway 9. The comprehensive land use map update is in tab 3, and it does indicate that this is a coastal area, and coastal areas do support a variety of businesses. I will let Shannon touch in more detail about the specifics of how the coastal area mapping unit in the comp plan does address and encourage commercial. Technological breakthrough? Okay. All right. Tab 6 of the book is, again, the site plan. Site plan includes 13 parking spaces. I'm sorry, 13 are required and 14 are provided. But again, we do leave room. If you look at the site plan at the end of tab 6, there's two sides to it. One is sort of a cover page, and the back side of it shows you the existing tree lines, many of which we intend to leave intact, and actually have identified that as a condition of the conditional use, that we allow that existing vegetation to remain to the greatest extent possible. We feel like we could clear it and put a privacy fence on the property line, and although my client is willing to do that, I don't think it enhances the neighbor's perspective on the project. So we believe that the retaining as much of that vegetation as possible is the best approach to have a low impact on the neighboring properties. The site soils are suitable for infiltration. We've had coastal soil has checked the site for wetlands, and there are none. If you're familiar with the soils in this area, that should come as no surprise. This is generally a sandy part of the county with a deep water table. So infiltration is the expected means of stormwater management, which is preferred by the conservation district. Tab 10 is the county's engineering department indicating that sewer is available. We do not have central water, so there won't be a fire hydrant installed. We will have to install an individual private well near the front of the property. There probably is a well out there, but the existing well will probably most likely be abandoned because under current regulations, they have to be separated from our stormwater facility. And so the stormwater facility will likely go in the back, and the well will be in the front. DLDOT's service level evaluation indicated that the use would not require a traffic impact study. It is a relatively small office. It's not retail. Mr. Sandoval does not have a lot of customers coming to his office. He has a handful of employees in the morning and a handful of employees returning in the afternoon, and that's their daily traffic. Does not warrant a traffic impact study. And tab 13 gets into the compliance with the comp plan, and I'll turn that over to you. That's probably worth doing. The file did indicate that there was a neighbor who was concerned about the two conditional uses that are coming before you today in very close succession. This parcel here and this parcel here are the application that we are presenting. The other application, I believe, is over here, and my understanding is the opposition came from this parcel here. It is separated from us by approximately 100 feet, and we're not aware of any other neighbors. I checked the file just before the hearing. We're not aware of any other neighbors who have expressed a concern about this application.
Thank you, Ken. The proposed use of the property is a permitted conditional use, thank you, under the zoning code, and it is consistent with the purpose and goals of the comprehensive land use plan. As Ken stated, the property contains approximately 0.7 acres of land. It's located on the south side of Route 9, which is classified by the Delaware Department of Transportation as a major collector road. It's approximately one-third of a mile west of the Route 9 intersection with Route 1 at Five Points. It is located in the AR1 district. Conditional uses allowed within the AR1 district include, among other uses, business and commercial uses. The property is located opposite an existing C1 district, and it's located in close proximity to the Delmarva Power Substation. The area in general is just a mixed-use area that includes existing residential and commercial uses. There are, as Ken stated, several conditional uses which have been approved within a one-mile radius of the property, and that's been within the last decade. He mentioned Stokely Materials, another conditional use for equipment storage and home office for landscaping business. He mentioned the homeless shelter but that was overturned, but it was also approved. That property was approved for distillery, conditional use for a distillery in the past. Also to approve conditional uses for multifamily units. The approval of conditional uses over the past decade definitely supports a recent and growing trend of more intense land uses in this area, which is not surprising based on its location. As Ken stated, the 2019 Comprehensive Plan land, future land use map indicates that the property has the land use designation coastal area, which is a growth area, includes areas around Rehoboth Bay, Indian River Bay, and Little Assawoman Bay. Surrounding land uses to the north are also coastal areas and highway commercial areas. Land uses to the east and west are coastal areas, and then the surrounding land uses to the south are coastal areas and mixed residential areas. In addition to residential uses, permitted uses in the coastal areas include retail and office uses, such as Donovan's proposed office use. The plan provides that appropriate mixed-use development should be allowed in the coastal area, and that careful mixtures of homes with light commercial, office, and institutional uses can be appropriate to provide convenient services and to allow people to work close to home. Thus, it's our opinion that the proposed office and storage use is an appropriate use in the coastal areas. Again, as Ken stated, the state strategies for state policies and spending map classifies this property as being located as part of an investment level one. Investment level one, it's a state's intent to use its spending and management tools to maintain and enhance community character, to promote well-designed and efficient new growth, and to facilitate redevelopment of these areas. When Mr. Sandoval purchased the property, there was a single wide trailer located on the property, which was not in the best condition. Donovan proposes to construct a stick-built trade contractor's office consisting of 2,600 square feet, as well as a pole building consisting of 1,800 square feet to be used for storage. The use that's being proposed will enhance the community character and facilitate the redevelopment of this property in this investment level one area as intended by the state. Donovan's currently has 18 employees, three of which are on site and manage the day-to-day office operations. In addition, Donovan's does engage subcontractors as needed to meet the needs of this expanding and growing construction industry here in Sussex County. Current business hours are from 7 a.m. until 7 p.m., and that's Monday through Friday, and then 7 a.m. until 1 p.m. on Saturday, with no office hours on Sunday. Donovan's proposes, again, to provide 13 parking spaces and one handicap accessible space, so a total of 14 spaces to access the office building, as well as a loading space for access to the storage building. All materials will be stored in the storage building and will be accessed via the proposed loading area, and that's all shown on the site plan. Sewer services are proposed to be provided by the county. Central water services are not yet available, but a private well is proposed on the property. Again, there's no wetlands on the property. There is a currently the existing natural forested buffer around most of the perimeter of the property to provide a nice natural buffer, as opposed to a privacy fence, as Ken had stated. Mr. Sandoval is willing to install a privacy fence, but we all believe that it would be better to maintain that natural buffer if possible. There will also be appropriate lighting on the property for security purposes. That lighting, of course, will be downscreened so as to not impact any neighboring properties. DLDOT's determined that the traffic associated with the proposed use is negligible and therefore did not recommend that a traffic impact study be performed. Thus, the proposed use will not have any impact on neighboring properties or uses in the surrounding area. It'll simply allow the relocation and expansion of this existing Sussex County business in order to enhance their ability to efficiently provide painting and drywall services to the construction industry and the expanding population in Sussex County. And for these reasons, and based on the record and this presentation, we do request that the council approve this application for the proposed conditional use, as it is a permitted conditional use under the zoning code, and it is consistent with the purposes and goals of the comprehensive plan. We, of course, are available to answer any and all questions that you may have, and we thank you for your consideration of our application.
So,
thank you.
Any questions of council?
Mr. Burton?
He mentioned some retail. You mentioned no retail. Is there some retail?
I only mention retail as a contrast, that we don't produce nearly the traffic retail would produce. There's no proposed retail with this condition.
No.
Sorry if I wasn't.
Okay, that's fine. You know, it is in a level one, and there is DLDOT movement to dualization of Route 9. Has there been any discussion with them as far as, and what I really worry about is your well, right? Because if they expand the road and the well's out front, and you got to move well.
We haven't discussed any particulars with DLDOT at this point because it's a little preliminary. I mean, as you can imagine, getting an actual entrance permit takes a lot of my time and a lot of my client's money. We do tend to defer that till the zoning decision is made. If during the entrance approval process they ask for or require an expanded right-of-way acquisition, they'll typically bring that up when they start reviewing the site plan.
Yeah. It's a newly added initiative that DLDOT's taking on, so
right.
Just be aware of that.
That's I mean, I think our site plan, just to give you some idea, the standard that they already have gives them a lot of right-of-way. So when you look at the site plan, so bear with me here.
That would all be addressed as part of a site plan process.
It would. We actually show tab 6, I'm sorry. On the site plan, we show a dedication, which is it shouldn't be surprising in a standard. And in addition to that, there's a permanent easement. So there's a 10-foot dedication that will make the DLDOT own 40 feet from the center line, which is standard for a collector road like this. And then a 15-foot, a shared use path is what it's typically for, permanent easement. I don't know whether they're going to require a shared use path on this location or not, but they ask for that easement on every application. So 25 feet of the frontage has already been sort of assumed by DLDOT to be available to them. If they need more, they'll probably bring that up at the time of the application.
I have no further questions.
Any questions of council?
If not, do you have anything else, Ms. Carmine?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of the application? Seeing none, is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter. If council desires, close public record.
Close public hearing. It's okay with council, close public record. Ask Mr. Moore with a short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance grant a conditional use plan in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a contractor's office and storage to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.69 acres, more or less, for the reasons given by planning zoning number 1 through 6 with conditions 7A through L.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mr. Burton.
I agree with planning and zoning's motion for approval. This is in a level one. The area is changing. There's conditional uses and commercial zoning all around it. So my motion is for approval with what was testified and what planning and zoning recommended.
Hudson?
I vote yes for the reasons given by planning and zoning and as well as the conditions.
Mr. Riley?
I also vote yes based on the recommendation by planning and zoning and conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes on recommendation P&Z.
Also, the planning and zoning recommendations and Mr. Burton's comments, I'll vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next
item on the agenda, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2190. Ms. Cornwell.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office to be located on a certain parcel of lying and being in Lewis Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, containing 0.26 acre more or less. The land is lying on the northwest corner of Beaver Dam Road and Church Street. The tax parcels are District 334, Map 5, Parcel 212 and 213. The 911 address is 17662 Beaver Dam Road, Lewis. Staff note, the Planning Commission held a public hearing on September 26th of this year. At that time, a number of items were submitted into the record, including a staff analysis, a conceptual site plan, and agency comments. At that time, they deferred further consideration. At their October 10th meeting, they did recommend denial of the conditional use for reasons 1 through 6. And I would state, note that one of the reasons that they stated was if they were able to address the site plan problem concerns that the commission had, that they would be allowed to reapply for the conditional use within the one-year timeframe. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, council? If not.
Mr. President, councilman, I'm John Balkley. I'm with Wolf and Associates. I'm here on behalf of Mr. and Mrs. Falcone with regard to this application. For the parcel you see here, I plan to just give you a brief overview of the parcel, kind of the history of it, and then we'll kind of walk through the project as anticipated. As you know, this is a conditional use 2190, and what my clients are asking is that this particular parcel be used as a small family-owned accounting office. Currently, they're working out of their home in Rehoboth Beach with 4 employees servicing their clients as needed. There's been various discussion with players involved regarding DelDOT and any traffic issues here. It's our understanding at this point that there will be no significant impact with regard to traffic. As you can see, we're just around the corner from the Donovan's property, and that there are a lot of uses nearby that are changing. The area is changing to a more of a commercial-esque area. Thank you so much. I'm terrible at these things, so I didn't want to give anybody vertigo.
Do you mind pulling your microphones up,
please? Of course,
please.
Turn
towards the council instead of the maps, because you're losing some of the volume from me.
Absolutely, sir. It's my first time in chambers here, so I do appreciate the direction. So in short, that is the request, to have the conditional use allowed on this particular parcel for a small accounting firm that is run by my clients, the Falcones. Conditional uses, let me stop. We are within an AR1 zone here, similar to the Donovan's application, which does allow conditional uses so long as the purposes of that zone are being furthered. Generally speaking, the purpose of the zone is to protect the agricultural and water resources of the area. I'm a native Sussex County myself, and I know that we do pride ourselves on our agriculture. It's quite a productive land, and we'd like to keep it that way, and I absolutely support the idea behind the zone. But in this particular instance, there's no impact, in our opinion, that could negatively affect any of the agricultural resources that are sought to be protected. And the basis of that is simply that, unlike the Donovan's property, we don't have a well. Everything's connected to county sewer, county water. We're not digging drain fields. We're not digging wells. We're not pumping anything into the ground. And the only, I guess, effect that there could be, which would be de minimis, would be from impervious surface such as paved parking spaces. Obviously, anything in that regard would be dealt with under the county ordinances and adjusted accordingly to make sure that any standard that's in place is met. We've discussed traffic, so I won't beat into that one too hard. Generally speaking, there are 4 employees of my client's firm, not including themselves, which are in and out of their home currently. It's not ideal, and I'm sure they'd like to move some of them out. I know that there is a site plan that is very preliminary that is in the record. I don't know if it's... Oh, no, that's okay. That's okay. We're here to talk about the use, not the site plan approval. So, that's the gist of the request. It's not their intention to cause any issue with regard to this parcel, and they do support the idea of conservation with agricultural resources. However, in this particular instance, in the lack of impact, they feel as though this parcel would be ripe for approval, particularly in light of the commercial development that's been going on nearby. I would like to, if the council will indulge me, to walk through the minutes and the memorandum, which was provided by
to the Planning and Zoning Commission with regard to their denial. I have copies if anyone needs them.
You can present that.
Sure. Just make sure.
If it's the motion from the Planning and Zoning Commission, that would have been included in your packet.
We have those.
Excellent. So I just want to, I'd like to walk just quickly through the minutes, particularly the first full paragraph on page 2. You'll notice on several occasions there's conversation with regard to setbacks and the proposed building requiring variances. And simply stated, it was our understanding that we were here just for the use. We'd had the engineer finish things up, but we actually just got a new engineer. Things would have probably been dialed in a little more tightly on that regard. Had site plan review been on the radar for us, as again, it was our understanding, we're simply for the use. The site plan review is to come later down the road. If that's incorrect, please let me know, and we can adjust accordingly.
So typically for a conditional use, you're providing a conceptual site plan.
Sure.
I believe at the Planning and Zoning Commission that the site plan proposed raised a lot of concerns.
Sure.
Regarding that it was not in compliance with the zoning.
Certainly.
And that was some of their concerns and part of their reason.
Sure.
For denial.
Sure. No, and I see that, I understand that, but again, it was my understanding that, let me step back. Ms. Monahan was actually in front of the Planning and Zoning Commission. She just had a happy, healthy baby boy, 7 pounds, 2 ounces, and because of that, she can't be here with us today. So you guys are stuck with me. She is better looking than I am. That's just the way it goes. But nonetheless, to just run through their reasoning, with regard to the use of the property, I don't see how reason number one has anything to do with the use itself. The request is to allow an accounting firm to sit on this parcel, not the size of the building or anything else. Number two tacitly approves the application in the sense that it says, while the proposed use is appropriate for this general location. So the balance is discussing the preliminary site plan that they had received, as opposed to the merits of the use that was going on the property, which again is tacitly approved in number 5. So that was just something that I did want to point out, and I am apologizing for yelling at you guys, loud voice. But with regard to the application itself, do you guys have anything that you would like to say about it?
Sure.
This is Mr. Steve Falcone, he's our client.
Good afternoon. How you doing? We approach this as some grand idea of how we would like this property to look. So we had a very preliminary idea, and we got feedback at the last hearing that we're probably going to have to rearrange some things. So we did engage an engineering firm that they're working together with the attorney to revise the plan, and so that in the end, this is going to be constructed and in accordance with what we're allowed to do. This is not to be our one and only property. If we have to, we'll continue to work from our home. But if it's grand enough that as accepted down the road, we'll be able to fit in there nicely. But as we're looking at it right now, it's a place where we like to expand our business. We don't really bring clients to onto that property to sit around and do the, you know, we do our work while they're remote. So we're looking to put maybe 2 or 3 of our employees into the property as it sits right now. And if we get approved down the road to expand the building, we'll do so in accordance with the rules. So I just wanted to kind of put that out there. Are there any questions?
All right, question.
Mr. Burton.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but I look at the questions and the discrepancies, right? And I don't see where any of them are. It's kind of like, go ahead and give us a conditional use, and then we'll make it fit type thing. And what I'm used to, right, is a preliminary drawing that says, hey, you know, this really can work. It's got this many feet off the back property line, and it, you know, so that we're not wasting your time and you're not wasting our time because it does fit.
Understood. So I think we came in to approach this hearing as though we were just dealing with the use of the property, conditional use of the property. Now the property does come with a few issues, as you can see. If we're denied to be able to build in accordance with that plan that's there, we're going to have to downsize that plan.
But we had to come to the hearing with some idea of what it is we wanted to do. And that includes working with you guys on making adjustments to setbacks and so forth. But right now, we're just focused on using the property as it sits today. And we've got a long way to go. We've hired an engineering firm to make, to work with DelDOT and the other folks that needed to approve this project. We know it's going to take a while to get through all this. And as it sits right now, we can only take what's in front of us, you know?
But you saw the last application, right? And they had a site plan that wasn't, you know, it wasn't the approved site plan, right?
But that was our rough idea of what our concept was. That is not, we can't build until you guys say we're okay to build. We can't even put a parking lot or anything in there until you guys say this is okay and this is going to work.
I don't know what I'm saying okay to.
Right? If I may, Mr. Councilman, I believe, as I'm understanding, the okay is to the use, not to the structure. The structure's dealt with in site plan review. Now, it may be commonplace for that to all be presented at once, and I do understand your desire to see a site plan that you believe will work. But that's, I don't think that was the understanding coming into this as far as this conditional use application went, as it didn't entail site plan review. Excuse me. I understand a preliminary site plan review, perhaps.
And that's what we've always had.
And that's fine.
You are typically provided a conceptual site plan. This one, a conceptual site plan was provided. However, it doesn't comply with the zoning code.
Sure.
In multiple different areas, and that was the concern that was brought up at the Planning Commission, and is being concerned here.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen, okay, Planning and Zoning said, hey, this conceptual, you know, is out here and out there, and and then you go from that meeting to an engineer that comes back and says, hey, here's the new one.
Sure.
So when we went to the last meeting, it was brought up that some adjustments are going to need to be made, right? And they asked us to hire an engineering firm to do that, but that was 4 weeks ago. So there was this is going to, the engineer has to meet with DelDOT and several other agencies. It's going to take probably 3 or 4 months to get through that whole process. And then, you know, there's a lot of other things we need to do before we even start building this thing. So there was no way for us to get from the Planning and Zoning hearing to here today with an engineering plan. We know what we have today, and we know we'd like to operate in that building in a very small capacity. If we put three people in there, there's no way that where it sits today is going to be impactful. We're going to be well within all the setbacks. And that's all we're asking for today, is just a conditional use to use it as it is. We're working on a new plan with an engineering firm to develop, you know, jointly with you guys and with DelDOT and everyone, and anyone else that has to be involved, to build this in accordance with something everyone can live with.
Are you indicating there's a building on the property now?
There is an existing structure. Yes, I'm sorry.
There's a 525 square foot small little property sitting on a property there near today.
How long do you think it would take you to get a conceptual preliminary plan?
That's been approved by
approved by anybody.
Something that when you're working with your engineer, how fast can they get a preliminary conceptual site plan that would comply with that setbacks that fits on the property done? Incomplete.
When I met with him on Friday.
Okay.
And he was getting more into the soil samples and all the other things. Where's the driveway going to be? And you don't want any of that.
The driveway is important.
Okay.
Right.
I understand that.
Parking. So is it possible, Everett, to leave the record open for a period of time to get a conceptual site plan for us to review?
That is typically not what we leave the record open, but I do not see any limitations in our rules that say that we could not, if it was specifically stated for the purpose of leaving it open for a certain time for a revised site plan.
And that revised site plan would really just deal with where the setbacks are today.
Revised conceptual plan.
Where the building would be located in relation to the setbacks and where your parking would be located in relation to the site.
Well, the building's already located.
No.
I heard what it was to use that building to start with. So that building's on the site.
Correct.
It's not going anywhere.
That's correct.
Right? So all he's got to deal with is parking. But it can't be moved. It must sit there sometime.
So if they're planning on reusing the building, they need to have a conversation with the planning office regarding setbacks.
Are there current setbacks in violation then?
There is a setback on the front end of about 5 feet, but I believe that structure was in place before that ordinance was enacted, so I would assume that it was grandfathered.
Yes. However, you are planning on expanding that building, which
very true.
Does not allow for the grandfathering to go with the new...
New foundation. I understand. Thank you.
So what would that new conceptual plan look like if I'm already... If I push that out, aren't I already in violation of something if I have a new plan put together?
And I think that was the concern, is if you're going to be adding on to the existing building, you're going... And the concern that the commission had was, well, if they approve a use and the proposed building does not comply with the setbacks, then you need a variance from the Board of Adjustment. However, if they approve the conditional use and the conceptual site plan, are they then kind of potentially even defaulting, granting a variance, that you have to meet 5 criteria to be granted a variance from the Board of Adjustment because you have 2 different issues going on because the proposed new building will encroach into the setbacks?
We really need to see a conceptual site plan.
Sure. And is this in reference to the driveway, as the president was speaking, or you want to see an entire plan?
It's an entire plan.
That's fine.
And
we're happy to do it.
And on number, the survey that was submitted indicates there's a significant boundary line discrepancy of 14 feet.
Sure.
So something's got to be done with that.
Well, in my opinion, that's never been recorded. It's not a public record in Delaware. I've never seen it, so I don't know where it came from. I'll get a copy of it. If there is some boundary agreement, I'll find it. I'm not terribly sure what they're talking about, and I was not involved in this beforehand.
How'd they come up with 14 feet?
So
that's at the on the per, the what is it called? The working version proposed conditions plan is that when the surveyor identified something, they found a boundary line agreement plat that's not on the record, and then a potentially boundary line. There's definitely some plat book and page numbers and it references on the survey.
Got work to do.
I do indeed.
So when we purchased that property in December, that was not part of what we understood. That was never recorded, so we had no idea that that existed.
It did not show up in the title search.
It was a private agreement, and we had no idea.
Mr. President.
Yes, sir, Mr. Wilson.
How come we can't tell how much the setback's got to be?
How come we can't tell what?
How come we can't tell what setback is right now?
The setback's 40 feet.
Line. 40 feet?
The setback is 40 feet from Beaver Dam and 15 feet off of Church Street. However, it's an existing building that encroaches into the setback, and they are proposing to add to the existing building, which requires a variance from the Board of Adjustment because you cannot legally increase a nonconformity without approval from the Board of Adjustment.
Well, I was referring to what Mr. Vincent said. The building's already there.
Yes, there is an existing small building on the property, an older house that they are looking to use. However, apparently they need to expand it based on their use.
So we're going beyond that 40 feet. Is that what the problem is?
Sir, if I may, I believe that the issue is this. We have this building. That is an existing building that's encroaching.
Sure.
We're asking to add on to it with a new structure. We're adding on to a non-conforming use, which will require a variance.
They'll put a shed to it.
Correct. Correct.
It goes beyond the limits.
That's correct.
Maybe they better build a smaller building.
Looks like we're going to have to do some moving around anyway. Are there any further questions from the council?
Yeah. If you completed your presentation?
I have, sir.
Okay. You can have a seat. Is there anyone else or any questions, further questions from council? If not, you can have a seat.
Can we get, I'm sorry, the spelling of your last name?
Of course. B-U-L-K-E-L-E-Y.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of the application? Anyone else here today that'd like to speak in favor of the application? Is there anyone here today that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone in opposition? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing. If council desires, we can act on the public record as well.
We'll close the public hearing?
Yeah.
We'll close the public hearing.
Thank you all.
We'll continue the hearing.
No, no, close the public hearing, but with the record.
Yeah, we have. You get anything worse than you're trying to do.
Yeah, I was saying, have you passed? I know, but you roll with that.
We'll close the public hearing, and I think Mr. Burton wants to make a motion reference to public record.
Right, my motion would be to leave the record open for a conceptual site plan that we can review.
How long?
We table for 90 out of 2 weeks.
Oh, no, we didn't need more than that.
They need more than that.
I guess the part that, we've already engaged an engineering firm, so the part that confuses me is the conceptual site plan that he's going to develop, is that something that has to stay away from setbacks?
They're going to need 30 to 45 days at a minimum.
I would say 90.
90 days should be appropriate.
Acceptable to the council?
Yes. Yeah, so.
Motion, Mr. Burton?
I would second that.
Second, Mr. Hudson. To leave the public record open for 90 days for the purpose of the applicant bringing back a conceptual site plan to council. Questions on that? Take the vote, Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Now, read the short title with a motion.
Yep.
Yep.
And thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 0.26 acre more or less, and the record to be left open for the applicant to provide a conceptual site plan within 90 days.
Pleasure, council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hudson. Any questions? Take the vote, Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Hudson.
Yes.
Mr. Riley.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Next.
Next matter, Mr. President, is conditional use number 2192.
Thank you. This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend conditional use number 1979 to allow for nightclub type activities and an electronic message center sign to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 3.033 acres more or less. Land is lying on the east side of DuPont Boulevard, Route 113, approximately 0.51 mile north of Beach Highway, Route 16. The tax parcel is District 230, Map 26, Parcel 35.01. The 911 address is 12327 DuPont Boulevard, Route 113, and Ellendale. Staff would note that the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on September 26th of this year. At that time, there was no one present for the application, so the Planning Commission recommended denial of the application due to a lack of record and lack of representation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. President, I would like to point out section 115-216D of our code, which primarily references reconsiderations and the one-year limitation for refiling. And that was a fairly recent ordinance that this council enacted. If someone did not show up to hearing, how they could apply either to PNZ or to the county council, as the case may be, with those extraordinary reasons why maybe they missed it. It does, however, go on to state that provided, however, that the county council shall not act upon any matter in which the applicant failed to appear before the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we can have the hearing today, but we cannot act on it since Planning and Zoning did not have a hearing. And if Planning and Zoning does not act to allow them for good reason to go back and have a hearing, then this will not be acted upon. So what that is saying for you missed the Planning and Zoning hearing. That was on a Thursday night. Because you missed that, although we'll let you have your hearing, we will not act upon it. The council cannot act on it. Your only option would be if there was a valid reason that you can reapply or to petition planning and zoning, indicating why you missed that. And if there's good enough reason, they could vote that they wanted to, you know, allow you to present your case. But if not, we cannot act on it, and we will not act on it. So, like I said, you can go ahead with your presentation today, but there'll be no action unless planning and zoning decides to reopen.
Thank you. Mr. President, board members of the council, so this is for clarity on my part right now. Do I have to get their approval from planning and zoning as of right now from Ms. Cornwell?
No.
No.
There is a process to go. You might want to check with the code and planning and zoning office can help with that after this is over. Excuse me, I'm losing my voice. But there is a formal petition that you would have to make to planning and zoning.
Okay.
Does he have a good reason?
Mr. Wilson, that's not for us to decide. That would be up to planning and zoning to decide.
Okay.
Yes. Again, my name is Napoleon Hernandez. I'm the owner, the sole proprietor of the tavern located at the property that was mentioned. The amendment that we put in for the conditional use was more of a dispute between planning and zoning and myself, because there's already an existing conditional use approved for the property to operate as a tavern. The tavern has been in operation under my ownership for almost 3 years now. Prior to that, it was in operation for 3 years with the previous owner. I think there was a period of maybe 2 or 3 years where it was closed down, but prior to that, it was always operated as a tavern, somewhere where patrons can come, drink, listen to music. The previous owner operated somewhat similar activities that I'm proposing that I use a tavern for. And the issue kind of came up where there is, I guess, a few members of the community that kept calling in because it's under new ownership, and I removed some 2 pool tables. And I am here right now to see, make sure to present my case, to make sure I can operate as a tavern still with the additional uses as a, to provide more entertainment options. The entertainment options that I wish to operate with inside the tavern include maybe bringing in more pool tables if the space provides, if I can kind of maneuver the space if need be, karaoke, go-go dancing. I also want to maybe do a paint night. There's different uses that are not specific inside the conditional use that's already approved, and that's where the kind of the dispute is coming from, is where it doesn't say specifically these are approved, it just says tavern. So I guess that's where we are now, is what is a tavern? And I'm looking for the members of the council to approve the amendment to include the additional uses so it's more spelled out instead of just saying tavern only.
Okay, any questions from council?
From planning and zoning, what are the issues?
The issues are the dancing that is currently going on at the facility that we have verified with the definitions that does not fall under the definition of a tavern. You know, the paint night definitely could fall under that, but it was the dancing that that did not fall under that, and there were a few other things that fell under more of a nightclub type activity and not the tavern that was granted the conditional use. And then they also want to have an electronic message center sign. That would be, I think, their third sign on the property.
How many can you have?
One. They have 2 non-conforming signs, and they're looking to have a third electronic message center sign.
Why? Or they could take one of the signs down.
That is up to the council to make that determination. As 2 of them are non-conforming, we allow the non-conforming signs to stay. At this point, they put up a sign without approval, so they have requested to keep that sign. So it would be up to the council to whether, because it's an electronic message center sign, as a conditional use, you can consider an electronic message center sign in the AR1 zoning district. Otherwise, they are prohibited.
is already there?
It's already there. It is not working at the moment. They have pulled it away from the property because they would also have to get an approval from DLDOT as well, as because I believe at some point it was in the right-of-way and they've had to move it.
We were advised that the sign wasn't approved, so once we were advised, we moved it away. So that way, we conformed with what the planning and zoning advises.
Ms. Cornwell, the dancing you refer to, is that patron dancing or is that exotic dancing?
I believe it would fall more under the exotic dancing.
What would you say it falls under?
I would say it's more go-go. When I think of exotic, I think of topless. I think of fairways, where this, I think it's the only approved topless bar here in Delaware. What the girls that come in there, they're not on a schedule or anything like that. They can come in as they wish, but it's more go-go. It's very similar to what you would maybe see at a Hooters. Is it tight fitting clothing, maybe lingerie or go-go dancing? That's what we would classify it as.
That comes under Jitterbug.
Jitterbug. Mr. Burton, you have a question?
If there was a conditional use of the tavern and then it closed for 2 years, doesn't that?
Yes, the conditional use would have ceased. In this instance, this conditional use is not that old. It went from a tavern in a package store, and I think at some point it ceased long before that, and they came back and got the conditional use for the tavern and package store, and then it has been in operation since I think 2015, 2016 as a tavern package store, and now Mr. Hernandez is the new manager of the property and has taken over and is doing a different types of uses than what was
previously. So he wants to make amendments to the
conditional use that said it was a tavern and a package store. So this amendment would allow for nightclub type activities and then to also for consideration of the electronic message center sign.
Okay.
Any other questions, council? If not, did you have anything else to add, sir?
Not this time.
Okay. Is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application? Yes, come forward.
And while she's coming forward, I would note we have several letters in opposition to the application.
Okay, thank you. Give us your name and address, please.
Hi, Adaria Bracey, 329 Norway Drive, Dover, Delaware, 19901. I am speaking in favor. I am a bartender and sometimes I do dance at the Getaway, and it has opened a lot of opportunities. It's allowed me to make connections with certain people I might not have. And I can speak for a couple of my other, not really co-workers, but girls that come with me. It has helped us. And that's really all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any?
Could you please sign in there, print your first and last name?
Okay.
It would make it easier for me. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Anyone else in favor? Seeing none, is there anyone like to speak in opposition to this application? Sir, come forward.
Good afternoon. South Theodore H. Wallius, residing at 12303 DuPont Boulevard, Ellendale, Delaware, Route 113. My property is lying next to the property to the Gateway Lounge. My family owned this property and operated Theodore's Tavern at this location for many years prior. Since the owners have changed the type of business at this location, problems have occurred. It is not neighbor-friendly atmosphere anymore. There has been shooting at this that occurred, as well as stabbings. I am very concerned, as I have two grandchildren and my daughter living with me at my residence. The Gateway Lounge has been burglarized 3 or 4 times. Also, a loud and profane language outside their business hours. Motorcycles and vehicle noise leaving the Gateway Lounge before and after closing hours have been present. The Gateway Lounge has a security person that carries a pistol and a rifle for security. This is why I'm very opposed to the change of this rezoning. It is bad now. I also want to thank the county council for hearing my reasons for opposing this change of rezoning. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ted.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Anyone else? Mr. President, this would close the public hearing at this point, and if council desires, close public record as well.
We will close public hearing. So can the council close public record?
I will amend what I just said slightly.
Close the record, can't we?
We can only for the purpose of planning and zoning.
Recommendation, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we'll close public hearing, and we'll close public record with exception of we will wait if there is a recommendation from planning and zoning.
Correct.
And Mr. Moore, read the short title.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district to amend conditional use number 1979 to allow for nightclub type activities and an electronic message center sign to be located on a certain parcel of land lying being in Cedar Creek Country, Sussex County, containing 3.033 acres more or less.
Pleasure, Council.
Move for adoption.
Motion, Mr. Burton.
Second. Move.
Second, Mr. Hudson.
Wait a minute.
You move for adoption. Did you say for? We're not adopting this ordinance. We're just and defer to for planning and zoning actions.
That's what I understood.
Yes. Okay. I just want to be sure.
Motion is, Mr. Burton.
We're to defer for
planning. To defer. Waiting on planning and zoning recommendations.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Hudson, that was your
second. Yes.
Any questions on that? We'll take the vote. Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Entertain a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mr. Hudson?
Yes.
Mr. Riley?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now adjourned. Thank you.